So this segment is going to be just a little more informative, I guess, than anything. I know basically what I'm telling you is I'm going to resist the urge to preach on every subject that I have here. So in order to do that, I'm going to do my best to just kind of read the information. That's a little harder for me to do. So you've got two sides, and you look on the first side, which is the one with three on it, okay? Pre-millennial, pre-tribulation, partial rapture. Say that three times fast, you know? And I realize that even with our terminology, sometimes you understand why there's so much confusion in the body of Christ anymore. I'm just telling you that these are just kind of different views that churches all over the world or all over America have. And I live and I preach and I exhort and encourage one particular area. And I realize there's a lot of conversation in these last days where really what we want to come down to is the idea that, Christ is coming back. We know that for certain, and that's straight across the board. So the responsibility of the church is just to be ready, to be ready. And I get that. I get that. And that's the essence of my life and my journey, is because there is so much that we don't know and so much that we don't understand, but what we can do is find some of the things that we do understand and use that kind of foundationally in our lives. So let's look at that first one first, which is a partial rapture. And you'll have the opportunity to just kind of this week, just sit down and just go look at these, okay? Look at the different components to them. This sheet that I gave you is actually part of a prophecy study Bible by John Hagee. So that's where this information comes from. And he laid this out so well in terms of the different formats of these five that I just decided this morning I would share it right up front. I'm not sure what it's going to look like next week, if we'll jump right into it, because I'm going to have that conversation with Pastor Vic. Sue and I are going to be out of town next Sunday, and so I'm going to talk with him and see if we want to just kind of get started on some of these components. Okay? The partial rapture position holds that when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory to take his church unto himself, the only ones taken will be those who have had a second work of grace or who are sanctified in their daily lives. The idea is that there is this such a huge outpouring of revival that happens in a portion of the church that the church becomes a pure, holy bride. And I'm talking about just a portion of the church. Okay? This belief holds that at the rapture, the body of Christ will be divided into two parts. The sanctified part will go with the Lord, and that unsanctified part will be left to go through the tribulation so that their sins may be purged and they may become sanctified, just like the first part of the church. This view is rejected by most on the basis that the death of Christ, not suffering, is what removes sin. And that is a very key point that I want to echo through your spirits. As you look at prophecy and you look at how it's interpreted and how it's experienced, what you have to do is you interpret prophecy based on the revelation of Christ and who he is. The Bible tells us that Jesus came as an exact representation of the Father. He is the exact image of who the Father is. And so I'm saying all prophecy is interpreted based on the nature of who God is. That's what you need to hold to. In this particular portion that I just shared with you, is that you will find throughout time that it is not suffering and trials that purge or purify the church. It is what we just sang. Right? Okay, so that's what brings that balance to our spirits. And in Hebrews 10:17, it says, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." There is not one reason why God could not receive anyone into the rapture who has confessed Christ and accepted his substitutionary death at Calvary. How is somebody saved? Somebody is saved by an acceptance of the redemptive work of Christ. That's how it works. That's what it's like. I know that true redemption has cause and effect. I get that part of it, but I told you I can't preach right now, so I'm going to keep going. The fact that the church is the body of Christ also argues against a partial rapture. To suggest that part of the body will be on earth while other part is in heaven is really contradictory to a lot of the New Testament, but particularly if you will look at, let me just read to you 1 Corinthians 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. That's it. If it is called the church, and I'm not talking denomination here, don't misunderstand that terminology. If it is called the church, then it is one, and it will not be divided. You get that? If it is the church and if it is real, then it is one, and it will not be divided. Okay, the second one, post-tribulation rapture. The post-tribulation rapture position holds that the church will go through a seven-year tribulation period. It will endure the judgment and the wrath of God and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air to return immediately with him to the earth. A scripture used to justify this position is John 16:33, which you have heard many, many times. In this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble, is what the Lord said. So that is often a foundational idea that connects itself to a post-tribulation rapture. In the scriptures, the word tribulation is used in two different ways. First, it's used to describe the trials that come upon an individual in walking with Christ. Okay? You've heard me say it before. In this life, you will have trouble. I echo that all the time. I say, listen to me, folks. Life is going to be hard on planet Earth. Okay? So tribulation throughout the scripture is used in a context of an individual's life and the trials that we experience being outside of the garden. Okay, previous sermons. Being outside of the garden, there's tribulation that come as a result of the fall of humanity. But, listen to me, in this sense, the believer must expect tribulation. The second part of it, though, is the word is used to describe that seven-year period when the wrath of God is poured out on earth upon men for their rejection of Jesus Christ and the gospel. When the tribulation is used in the content of the tribulation is used in the content of the last days, it is in respect to the judgment of God the wrath of God being poured out on those who have continued to reject who He is. That's what you need to keep in mind. So to use the scripture, John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, it's not talking about the wrath of God coming. It's two totally different contexts. And so that's how I want you to just kind of look through that particular one. The purpose of the tribulation is to punish those who have rejected the word of God. Believers are given the promise. How many times have you heard this? There is therefore now no condemnation or judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, we're watching the character of God Himself in the way that He plays this out in the last days. The church cannot experience the judgment of the tribulation because their judgment was removed by the blood of Christ at Calvary. So the post-tribulation rapture view must be rejected. Mid-tribulation rapture. The mid-tribulation rapture position believes that the church will go through the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, and that it will be raptured before the beginning of the second half of the tribulation, 3 years into it. Now, for those of you who maybe you've never heard any of this stuff before, don't be concerned, don't be alarmed. That's why I'm giving you this little diagram, just so that you can start to just kind of look through it. Because if you look at each one of the diagrams, many of them have down at the bottom of the diagram, the church on earth or the church age, 7-year tribulation on earth, and also 1,000-year reign of Christ. Okay? 7-year tribulation, in that it will be raptured before the beginning of the second half of the tribulation. This view must be rejected. This view must be rejected, since the tribulation in the first 3.5 years consists of wars, pestilence, famine, disease, desolation, and death, as the beginnings of God's wrath is poured out upon the earth. Just as the church cannot go through the last half of the tribulation, because the purpose of the tribulation, again, is to punish the ungodly, not to punish the church. Neither can it go through the first half. Now these, I realize how many arguments there are. I realize that maybe there's some of you who are sitting here who have arguments in opposition to some of these things. What I am doing is I am going to share with you my position that is not based solely on the Assemblies of God, but this is based on a process that I've gone through for 29 years in terms of just watching and learning, and things that the Lord did in my heart early in my Christianity and learning the Scriptures. I found myself, when I first came to the church, somewhat rejectant of the church. And it wasn't just the Assemblies of God, but the church as a whole, because I was so frustrated by the confusion that I saw at so many different levels. And so I determined as a young Christian man to find out these things for myself. And I don't mean all alone. I mean just to walk out a journey and search these things out. And that's why it's been so strange that over all these years of ministry, the Lord has not released me to even teach and exhort on some of these things that we're talking about now. No rapture. The no rapture position is espoused by those who call themselves, it's called, once in a while you'll hear kingdom now views. This view holds that the church will become so victorious on earth that it will usher in the millennial kingdom, and there will be no rapture of anyone at any time. Because there is going to be such a massive outpouring, and the church is going to become so refined that it's a kingdom now mentality. It means that the kingdom will be coming. It's coming, and the church is that salt and that light that will bend society into a place in preparation for the millennial reign of Christ. This view must be rejected on the basis of Paul's teaching in 2 Timothy 3:13 and others, by the way, but this is just an example. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Over and over and over, the Bible describes to us as to what the last days are going to look like. And aside from that, most of us believe that we are in the... Well, first of all, we know that we're in the church age, because that was stated... That's been the last 2,000 years. And we also believe that we are going towards... We are visiting the end of the church age. We're moving quickly upon that. And let me ask you a simple question. Is the world becoming more and more sanctified? It matches up. We see this happening. Paul's description of things that will happen in the last days describe things becoming worse and worse. This view must also be rejected on the basis of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, which says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Amen. The rapture is so staggering. I love the subject. I love to watch it. I can feel it in my spirit as I've read through the scriptures. It's so staggering in its supernatural victory over the grave. That is what's going to be so amazingly powerful. It is a miracle Satan cannot imitate. I want you to hear that part. The catching away of the church is the declaration of his lordship over all of humanity. When he captures his people away, the rapture is a supernatural testimony of the real Jesus who won the victory over death, hell, the grave, everything. That's where the resurrection of the dead is going to begin to happen, and the control of the Antichrist is going to start to rule and to reign in such a powerful way. What have I lived and what have I believed in? I want you to understand that I don't stand in this position because it was something I was taught 29 years ago, so thus the reason I'm going to stay in that position. No, I've looked at all these different angles and I've observed them for so many years. And there was a place where I intentionally probably just said, you know what, there's no point in even talking about this stuff because there's so much confusion. Well, the problem is there's so much confusion because we're not talking about it. But people of reasonable minds and hearts need to just kind of visit these subjects. Now, some of what we talk about in prophecy is certainly not something that's argumentative points within the scriptures. There are foundational truths that we know are absolute straight across the board. But I'm telling you, if you understand prophecy and you start to let it be absorbed in your hearts, it will change the way that you live. So, the last one, pre-tribulation rapture, which is the one I'm going to say the least about, because in the future I'm going to say the most about. The pre-tribulation rapture position holds that the church will be raptured before the tribulation begins. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is a hope. It's the hope that I hold. And in the weeks to come, I'm going to explain to you why I live and believe so passionately in the soon coming of the Lord. I'm not going to try and convince anybody of anything. I'm going to share with you what I have seen to be the truth throughout the Scriptures. And for some of you, it's going to be such a beautiful challenge, because some of you are going to start getting your heads and your hearts out of this world and some stinking thinking that's been going on in the church itself. And it's going to motivate you to start searching these things out for yourself. Right? Deal? Start to look over this in the weeks to come.